Today, on this third Sunday of Lent, we continue in our series, A New Heart and a New Spirit, and we're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. There's a lot going on in these verses between 12 and 27. I'm not sure if that's the right scripture. I don't know what's happening there. John 13. Whoops. Well, listen to me. And as we think about this text that I'm going to read is actually one that we often listen to on Good Friday. The narrative lectionary has kind of fast-forwarded us into Holy Week, which I think is challenging for the preachers, but it's a great exercise to really focus in on these passages because there's so much happening on Good Friday. Sometimes we look over them or after them and kind of not take all that's coming from them. Yes, Patrick? Oh, the scripture's right, the title's wrong. Okay. That's great. So listen for God's word to us, or you can watch it on the screen from John 18, beginning at verse 12. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for all the ways that you speak to us. Sometimes it's through the sunrise. Sometimes it's through a story that convicts us. Sometimes it's a reminder of how much we are in need of your grace and your mercy. So help us, God, in this brief time as we consider this passage for our lives today. Open up our souls. Challenge us to hear you calling each one of us to know you, that the truth would indeed set us free. We love you. Amen. So when we think about what it actually means for us to put this new heart and this new spirit on, often there's an action step, right, that we need to take. It doesn't just happen. And that's a big part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ is, am I willing to really search inside of this heart and to see what is it that needs to change? What are the things in my life that are really working well for me? What is there about my identity that I know is coming from Christ, that Christ has put this on me? And what is there in my identity that's causing me to stumble at the end of the day? What is it that has really made me think, wow, as I look back on my day, maybe I didn't say the most helpful words in that conversation with my friend. Maybe I didn't respond to my boss in the way that I could have. Maybe I said something to my child or my grandchild or the kid in the neighborhood who kind of pushes my buttons. That's the blessing of this life with Christ, is that we get to look back and learn, right, from those things in our life that have been helpful to us and those lessons in our life that have really challenged us to think about, what am I doing? So there's a pastor, Jeremy Marshall. He's a pastor out in California. And he writes about a story in his life that when he looks back on, continues to kind of just have that pit in his stomach. Because it's a story that happened to him when he was younger, and he was actually at Vacation Bible School. And he wasn't real excited because he knew that there were going to be a lot of new kids that had been invited to Bible school, right? That's the point of Vacation Bible School. Invite others to come and to have VBS together and to read the B-I-B-L-E. And so he got to VBS that day, and he saw a kid from school who he wasn't excited at all to see, because this kid was the bully. They called him Big Red because he was so mean to others. And immediately when Big Red saw Jeremy come in the room, he said to him, "Oh, there's Weird Walter's friend, Jeremy." And Jeremy said, "I am not Walter's friend." And then another friend in the room, someone who Jeremy thought was a friend, said, "You're friends with Weird Walter? Walter from school that smells and no one likes?" And Jeremy said, "I am not Walter's friend." And then another friend in the room said, "I see you at school, Jeremy. I see you trading comic books with Walter. You are Walter's friend." Jeremy said, "I am not Walter's friend." And they went on to have their grape Kool-Aid and their Cheetos. And as Jeremy looked at that orange stuff on his fingers, he had this sick feeling that indeed he had denied Walter, his friend. And he also was on the receiving end of seeing the people in the room who he thought were his church friends making fun of him for being Walter's friend. So you see this cycle of denial that happens in fifth grade, right? But it also happens even to adults. Sometimes when you're a pastor at church, people want to be your friend and shake your hand, and then you see them at a party and they run the other way. I don't know, do I want to be associated with a pastor, a preacher? Not pointing fingers at anyone in the room. It happened in the last church, right? That sense of people denying who we really are and wondering if we have to put on a mask, deny our sense of our identity. And the rooster crows as we hear in this text today, and that sense of guilt that Peter felt. Often in our day, we may not hear that rooster crowing, but we know that every day we make decisions, we say words, we think thoughts that aren't really reflective of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's what this text is about for us when we think about looking at Jesus on trial as well as Peter on trial. The Gospel of John is just an amazing piece of work for us when we think about how the author, John, puts all of these stories together. You can feel what it was like to be there that night the darkness, how it was cold. You can feel the violence, that sense of justice not happening for Jesus. Peter finds himself in that place of really struggling to find the courage to be bold and to say, yes, I am a disciple. It's easier for him to say, I am not a disciple. It is only in the book of John that actually we hear these words from the woman that's asking Peter, are you a disciple? And the other three gospels, she asks, do you know this man? There's a difference, right? You could know Jesus and who he is, but to ask, are you a disciple? That's really one who's following him. There's a difference between knowing who the Philadelphia Eagles are and actually following them, right? It's a stretch, I know, but you get it. So where does Peter find himself that night? That sense of really asking himself, who am I? And Jesus, I think, gives the people a lot of credit. In the NIV translation, he says, surely they know what I said, the disciples, the Pharisees, the Jews. I didn't hide anything. I've been in the synagogue. I've been teaching the truth. No secrets about me. And yet, when it came down to it, the people denied everything that he had taught them, even his disciple, right? It got me thinking about how often do we think we know the words of Jesus or the scripture? How many times have people said to us, God helps those who help themselves? I can hear my grandma telling me that, right? You got to study your geometry. God will help you if you help yourself. Now, there's some truth to that, but it didn't come from the Bible. It came from that other guy from Philadelphia, Ben Franklin. And I don't think he was around the first century when all these things were happening. So we use words that we think are in the Bible. We use them to maybe encourage or maybe convict. But instead, think what the text really tells us. Jesus loved people, anybody, whether they were needy, whether they were rich, they had it all together or they didn't have anything together. Jesus offered that to them. Surely they know what I said. Do we know? Do we spend the time that it takes to be that disciple, to read the scriptures, to listen for God's voice? I don't know how many of you have an Alexa or Google, whatever, all the different things that talk to us, right? And so Alexa, in our house, every day you can ask her for a positive word. And it's interesting to hear where they find Amazon, those positive words. They're not always from the Bible. But where do we go to find those words of truth? Because it's hard in a world where there's a lot of dishonesty, but to really think about the richness of the Bible and the text that we read. Jesus wants each of us to know the truth of those words. And that's what he's saying to Annas that day. Everything about me, I'm an open book for you. Another quote for us to think about when you have a capital campaign, you hear this here and there from those who think this also comes from the Bible. Neither a lender or a borrower be, right? Church should never borrow money or lend money. We think that's in the gospel. It's not. Shakespeare, again, I don't think he was around in the first century, but it shows us how easy it is to think that these words are in the Bible when they're not. To really be a student, to be a disciple for us. So, as I mentioned, Jesus has this strong sense of being that open book to the world. He risks everything, his life, his very being, to show us how he loves us. Where Peter is kind of, you know, covered up with that book cover. So how we apply this to our life is to ask ourselves, what are all the ways that we hide behind the mask of who we really are? Social media, right? It's a lot to do with it. Or the people who we think are our friends, who we follow on Instagram, become our friends, rather than actually spending that time and investing ourselves in relationships with other people. And we start to believe what people say about us, talk about us, rather than how Jesus sees us. Think about this text and all of the personalities here. The woman asking Peter again and again, aren't you his disciple? She's not going to take no. She keeps putting that on him. All of us have people in our life who challenge us. Maybe it's still a parent that calls us and asks as an adult if you're doing all the things you should be doing. Or maybe it's our child that reminds us of the responsibility we carry to be a Christ-like follower. What is it in you that you hide behind? Your profession, who you are in your community? It takes a lot of energy, right? To be who God has made you to be vulnerable enough to admit when you're struggling, or to have a sense of gratefulness for all that God has done in your life, and you want to share that with other people. This week, we had the opportunity to go to a retreat for our pastor's cohort here in our presbytery. And it was brought up to us how important it is to think about this role as a disciple, that it's a relationship. Discipleship is a relationship. It's not a one and done day in your life when you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, or yes, I want to be a disciple. It's every day taking those bold steps of looking inside of yourself. I realized on this retreat that some days it's pretty draining, right? To own up to your identity. It can be vulnerable because we want everyone to think that we've got it all together, especially we pastors, right? If pastors don't have it together, who does? And so as we sat at the table and we had the opportunity to share, I had a new pastor in my small group who didn't know me at all, and I didn't know him. And the question was, what in your life is a joy to you right now? And what's a drain in your life? I thought, oh boy, what Trisha do I let this guy know? Everything's great in my life. I am the best wife. Ask my wonderful husband. My children are perfect. I'm just an amazing mom. And wow, you should see my house. There is no dust, no clutter. No stains in the carpet. Everything's great. Or do I tell him the truth? I don't have it all together. Don't come over to my house. Don't examine my marriage. Don't put my kids up on a pedestal. Be who we need to be. It's a risk, right? To put it out there. But at the other end of that risk-taking step, that bold step, Jesus is there. This is taken at the Sea of Galilee, at the primacy of Peter. If you look forward a couple chapters into John 21, you'll see again that Peter and Jesus meet around a charcoal fire. But it's not nighttime, it's breakfast. Peter's gone back to being a fisherman because he thinks he can do that a lot better than being a disciple. And Jesus comes and appears to Peter, and he asks him, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Most likely you might remember that story. And Peter has that opportunity to be right again with Jesus and says, I do love you. All of us, everyone here today, no matter what may have happened yesterday or 10 years ago or 50 years ago, Jesus offers us that same kind of grace, that second chance, third chance, 10th chance to be his disciple again. Remember that truth. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for Peter and for the ways that we learn from him and his struggle. And we know each day that perhaps we struggle too. So we thank you for this time together to be reminded of your word and your grace and your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.